Welcome back to Insight live on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. In the wine world, this is an important growing time. The vines are vibrant green. Those baby leaves are showing up, and hopes are pretty high at this point for the next vintage. And then come the main rainstorms. Is that good in May or not? Wine expert Rick Cushman is here for this month's Cushman by the Bottle. We're also going to be talking about that new Netflix movie, Wine Country, but we'll put that aside for the moment. Hi, Rick.
Hello.
So that movie does follow a group of longtime friends on a wine weekend in the Napa Valley, and
yes,
it's those lush rolling fields that right now have rivulets or big old floodwaters running down them.
Actually, the water's pooling right now.
Yeah, what about the rain right now?
Well, the good news is nobody has to irrigate for a long time, so there's that. It's actually a bit of a dangerous time. I was talking to folks from because a home winemakers, State Fair Home Winemakers competition was last Saturday, so I had access to a whole bunch of winemakers, and I was sort of polling the room. And they have two major fears. One of them is what happens is, to understand why it's so vulnerable is the process of how grapes fertilize themselves, which is they basically self-pollinate. So, early spring, they had those little bitty tiny leaves pop out, and then they make what looks like little baby tiny buds or bunches. They look like little bitty grapes. But what they actually are is those things turn into flowers.
I am going to post a picture that I took of our backyard vine. Take a look. And they actually look like they're little grapes.
Yes, those little itty-bitty grapes. And then they actually have little, they turn into little itty-bitty flowers. And then we've been handing a best phone back and forth, which is why that sounds weird.
I'm going to, at Cap Radio Ruyak, I'm going to post this picture right now.
And then those little itty-bitty flowers actually drop the pollen on themselves and self-pollinate. And then they turn back into itty little bitty grapes that become grape bunches. So right now we're in that stage where it's called fruit set, and some of the fruit has been set. So there are a lot of little itty bitty bunches of grapes, but there are also still a lot of itty bitty flowers floating around. So what happens is in this rainstorm, when the flowers are there, it can wash away the pollen. And the winds can wash away the pollen. The technical term is shatter, but what it means is they get thinner bunches. There's not as much in the bunch. The other problem is, and we are absolutely perfect season for this, is that those little itty-bitty bunches, they get wet, then the sun comes out, and it is absolutely the perfect condition for what they call powdery mildew, but basically mold. Mm. And they're little, tiny, so they're tight. And, you think about anything, if you want to grow mold on your kitchen counter, not that I ever have, but is you get it wet and you get it hot. So there's ways to deal with it, but it either involves spraying. For the organic folks, it's a little more difficult, And so it's a little bit tenuous, and they keep waiting for it to dry out, and it won't dry out. And so, right now, lots of people have fingers crossed. The ultimate impact of this won't be on quality. We won't really know whether it's a good year or a bad year until we see how the summer goes, whether the things stay even or that. But what it might affect, most likely will affect, is the volume. So it might be a smaller crop this year.
Meanwhile, it's a great time for wine tasting.
It is. It is, actually. Yeah, for two reasons. Because one, if the weather turns nice, then it's perfect, and you're just a bit ahead of the summer crowds. And if the weather's not nice, I'm in here in February saying, go wine tasting. Because that's the time to go, too, when the weather's a little bad, because the tasting rooms are warm, there's fires going, and now it won't be super cold. You probably won't get the vineyard tour right now, at least not for the next week or two.
But you can walk into almost any tasting room and not wait in a line.
Yeah, absolutely. And the places, it's even a good time to go to Napa. Napa's always a difficult trip these days once you started getting into summer, because summer through harvest, it's just such a popular tourist place. They get 4 to 5 million visitors through that period.
All right. Since you said Napa, I'm going to transition to the movie Wine Country, directed by Amy Poehler. Amy Poehler is in it. And at one point, her group of girlfriends is talking about a 50th birthday party. And Amy Poehler says, I want to go to one of three places, Napa Valley, anywhere in Arizona, or the Napa Valley. So she's chosen that spot. And you'd think with the title Wine Country that the wine industry would be pretty excited, but this isn't sideways.
No. And this is based on an actual trip that she took with some of that gang right there. It was somebody else's birthday, but this is, and it's Amy Poehler and Maya Rudolph and a whole bunch of Saturday Night
Live.
Tina Fey. Yeah. Right. And it's about the country part of it, not the wine part of it. And
it's about the girlfriends.
And it's about
really.
The girlfriends.
It's
really,
about the bond. It's about the crazy way that 50-year-olds act.
Exactly right. They keep talking about it.
Together.
They keep saying, this is about enduring friendships. It's about the way friendships, and this is the kind of one of the lines that I really love, is that there's not one way to be. There's not one way to do. To have a friendship, there's not one way to bond. There's not one way to behave. And it's really about how we all as a group all have bonded over the years. Those of us who are approaching 50 or
yeah,
maybe
right.
a little bit past
nice
it.
Nice try.
but we understand that. And what's been so hilarious is, and I've said this so often, is that, if there's any industry on earth, and then particularly any group of writers on earth who cover an industry that needs a sense of humor, it's the wine business. And they've been complaining that it's not about wine. And they, they have this ability to have their self-referential, overly serious, super narcissistic tone. And, the elitist that, this movie isn't about wine. And, there's the complaints have been hilarious. And part of it is that, they keep saying, the movie's not about wine, and it's not about the way wine industry is. And as you know, I was a television critic for a couple of years.
A lot of years. And a good one, too.
There were very few professions that were portrayed accurately because it's a show. It's a movie.
It's Hollywood.
Don't hear doctors going, that's not the way it is in the hospital. I suspect they probably did the first hospital show.
But I did say Sideways, which was a movie that really celebrated.
Yes.
In ways, lifted up Pinot Noir in particular, but that was more critically embraced by the wine industry.
Not at first. They were happy to see that it got popular, but at first they're going, people wouldn't behave like that, and there's still a lot of that same, just because there's a thing in the wine business, not the wine business, actually the professionals are totally cool, but it's around the edges, the writers and the wannabe writers and the bloggers, that if you don't criticize, you're not good. It's that the idea is to dislike it. So in this one, and this movie is, it's gotten, and I saw it as a critic, it was okay. I think part of its issue is, by the way, as a movie or as a critic, was that we know these folks so well, and I think they were all sort of boxed in by what we expected from them, and their roles actually filled that out. Their own, each of their comic talents, but it sort of, like a good wine, didn't quite coalesce. Having said that, it's full of joy, and it's definitely
bawdy,
worth seeing.
It's yes. crazy. It's
yeah.
not a PG movie.
No, it is not. And it's not. And it's frankly how most people would like to go to wine country, despite what the critics said. We have a clip. Right.
And we do. And when you talk about the critiquing and the criticizing that happens, I'll set this up by saying that you're going to hear all the girlfriends with a sommelier. They're doing a little bit of tasting.
Yeah, I think this is probably somebody at a tasting room. So
yes,
it's the guy behind the bar.
Anyone pick you up on the notes of honeysuckle?
Yeah, sure.
Get a good sniff. Let me know what you smell. There's no wrong answers.
Green apple.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very good. Green apple.
I want to say canned peaches.
No.
You said there was no wrong answer.
Yeah, but, peaches. So there's no peaches in there.
Okay.
What else you got?
Oh, lemon.
Yes. Very good.
Oh, I taste the lemon, yeah.
You don't taste it. You smell it.
Grapes.
Well, yeah, of course.
Nice. That's smart. Definitely grapes
in
there.
Can't go wrong with that.
Jasmine.
Well, that's egregious.
Pinot egregious. Thank you. Killing it.
that's great, and it's not particularly far off. What
about those tasting notes,
yeah.
Rick?
So You know, this is something that drives me nuts is that, first off, and we've talked about this before, everybody smells and tastes things differently. Everybody's taste buds are unique. You know, it's like your thumbprint. They're completely different. So we're going to smell and taste things differently. And then smell and taste, it goes to our emotional centers. And so you pick up the things that you have the most reaction to. And there is no wrong answer. You know, and the problem is that the wine world tells you so often around the wine world, it tells you this is right, this is wrong. You know, and as a side, if anybody does go to wine tasting, I always say don't read the tasting notes. Taste your wine first, talk among yourselves, because what happens is, one, then you start either looking for those things, and if you don't get them, then you think, well, this wine's not for me. And, you know,
because you actually could have a note of canned peaches.
You could definitely have a note of canned peaches. We don't know what the wine was that they were tasting, but, you know.
Oh, they said it later. It was white wine.
Yes, it was white wine. Absolutely. I'm sure canned peaches could have totally been in there. But there's, you know, and there was the writers have been complaining that it's not about wine. Somebody complained that, why would they go to Napa Valley? I think the quote was something like, there's more authentic regions. Oh, come on. And then one of my favorites was from one of the less hysterical writers, but I said that really sort of acknowledged that it wasn't about wine, but then complained that it was anti-woman because she said women are confronted. There was another case of a scene where women are confronted with an erudite topics, but willfully ignore it. And no. This isn't about women not being smart enough. This is about this group being not dumb enough to get sucked into this pompousness and, you know, and made fun of it. And it's, you know, there's just this tunnel vision in the world of wine, not just in criticism from this movie, but you've heard me say this over and over, where people are lectured about doing the wrong thing. There's no wrong thing with wine.
It's such a tricky walk to be sure that you aren't saying what women might think or want, Rick. You're only talking about what the wine industry is doing, and you're on
movie.
The safe side there.
I'm talking about the movie. Yeah. Well, this is a critic, and this was the issue. I don't disagree, by the way, with that notion that Hollywood treats women as if complicated topics are too much, and that's the stereotype. This isn't a case of that. This is a case of them being too smart for this.
The movie, in case you've just jumped into this conversation, is Wine Country. It is an original movie by Netflix. There is a chef who goes crazy over food in the show, and he takes a moment and he sniffs in the air and he says, as always, it's an amazing day in wine country.
Yes. Well, and that part's always true.
Yes.
You know, and that is, and you know, and that's also one of the, I mean, that's our super underlying thing. It's not really the point of the movie, but this is the thing that, once again, I'll say my tunnel vision wine writer friends miss, which is for regular folks, meaning most of the rest of the world, the 99.99% that aren't in the industry, anytime you're in wine country, it's a good day. It's a special place. It's beautiful. There's, you know, there is that smell in the air, and whether it's early season, there's the vegetation, that fresh vegetation, and later in the year you start to smell the grapes, and then during harvest, it's just absolutely seductive. That's why people go. They don't go to get educated, and this is the part that the wine world can't quite figure out. And you always hear these folks talking about, well, we would do better if we could just do more education. And I'm thinking, it's not a great business model if you have to educate your customer before they can buy your product.
All right. You are listening to Rick Cushman, and it's this month's Cushman by the Bottle. One more topic to cover quickly before we go, which is you're judging the commercial wine competition.
Yeah, commercial. We had Home Winemakers last Saturday. Commercial is next week. And that's always a great thing. You know, I've been doing this for a bunch of years, was chief judge for a couple of years. I'd rather just be the judge because chief judge works way too hard. It's a guy named Mark Chandler, by the way, a really nice guy. But in any case, this is a really amazing thing. And I was actually going to do the math on this, and I should have, but you know, it's like when you watch it from afar, it's like watching an airport in action. You know, because there's 18 panels, each judge has 12 wines, so that's what, 36 times 18, and at the same time, there's another full load. Their next flight is already in the room, and then the third flight of that many wines is is, you know, being poured and rolling down. And it is.
So I mean, you're over 600 wines.
Yeah, at open at any one time. I mean, and you think through the there's a couple of thousand. Usually we get 2,800, as much as 3,000 entries.
Wow.
You know, and then you think about with the championship rounds and the sweepstakes rounds. I mean, there's, you know, 30,000 glasses of wine poured over the time. And it's just really, the organization is amazing. And it's just a very fun thing to be a part of.
All right. Well, good luck. It's always fun to hear about that afterward.
And yeah, I'll bring back some good results.
That's the point. Thank you, Rick.
My pleasure.
That is wine expert Rick Cushman, our monthly Cushman by the Bottle. And you are listening to Insight on CAP Radio.